The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
We spent quite a bit of time yesterday discussing the inquest findings into the death of 16-year-old Aoife Johnson, who died at University Hospital Limerick in late 2022 in circumstances where she quite simply was not given the chance to survive the illness that she had because she was made to wait and she wasn't given the antibiotics she needed for 15 hours after she had first presented at hospital with a letter from her GP warning of the possibility of sepsis. Unfortunately, we hear on a regular basis of enormous overcrowding at University Hospital Limerick. For example, yesterday there were 424 patients on trolleys at the hospital. The unit has about 530 beds, but it has been estimated it needs another 300 beds. All of this to serve a catchment area of over 400,000 people, the only 24-hour emergency department in the Midwest, because other facilities in the region have been shuttered. Conor Deasy is president of the Irish Association of Emergency Medicine. And Conor, I suppose a lot of people are hearing this and they're thinking, well, how many more Aoife Johnsons may there have been and could there be because of overcrowding in Limerick?
Yeah, well, look, the first thing to say is that we have to have Aoife Johnson's case be a landmark case. We have to learn. And we certainly have learned a lot from Aoife's case. But we have to see change happen as a result of Aoife's case. The pain that this family are going through, the pain that staff at CUH or at University Hospital Limerick are going through, needs to result in change. The crowding is a reality, not just in Limerick University Hospital, but across our emergency departments. I work at CUH. I see significant crowding here. You know, I've got colleagues across the country that would say there, but by the grace of God, go us in terms of what goes on in emergency departments because of crowding. And I suppose we need to understand that crowding is fixable. It is absolutely fixable. So the first step in reducing crowding is to ensure that there is a bed for the admitted patient to go to. So at the moment, when a patient comes into the emergency department, we assess, we treat, we give the antibiotics, you know, ideally we get the treatments going in the emergency department. But unfortunately, rather than that patient who requires an inpatient bed going up to that inpatient bed, the patient gets stuck in the emergency department. And so we're not able to see the next patient that needs to be seen. So it's akin to landing people on aircrafts into Dublin Airport and not disembarking them. It's crazy. And the reason we're not able to get them to an inpatient bed is because there aren't the inpatient beds available. And we know the numbers. So we've got the average OECD number of beds per 1,000 population is 4.3. And that's an average number. That's not the best. That's the average. Our average number of beds per population is 2.7 per 1,000 population in Ireland, right? So we know we don't have enough beds in our hospitals, in our acute hospitals in Ireland. And in Limerick, it's even less than that. It's something like 1.7 per 1,000 population in Limerick. So we're starting at a real disadvantage if we don't have a bed to put a sick patient into in the hospital rather than down in the emergency department. Emergency departments shouldn't be crowded. It's a dangerous place to have crowding happen because you've got undifferentiated patients who haven't yet been seen, who, you know, could deteriorate at any time, and you need to have access and a line of sight of these patients. And if the place is crowded, that is compromised. And similarly, if our nursing staff and if our medical staff are taken up in the emergency department dealing with the admitted patients, they don't have the same visibility of those patients that have not yet been seen and have not yet received treatments.
If you have all the additional physical capacity of the beds, will there be enough doctors and nurses to actually supply the services?
Well, so getting the admitted patients into a bed in a timely way is a key priority. That will improve the efficiency of our existing doctors and nurses to focus on those patients that haven't yet been seen. But there is going to be a requirement, and there has been investment, in fairness, in Limerick since Aoife's death. There has been an uplift in the number of doctors available and working in the emergency department. And we have seen an uplift in the number of doctors that are working in our emergency departments since COVID. And that has resulted in an increased spend, and we're hearing a lot about the increased investment in HSC. But what people aren't acknowledging is the increase in activity that has come, and an increase in attendances. So in my own case, in COH, we've had a 27% uplift in overall attendances to the emergency department at COH. And we've had a 36% increase in our over 75-year-old population who are attending the emergency department. So the investment needs to keep pace with the demand. Now, you can put investment into ED avoidance strategies, but we haven't seen them being particularly effective over the last 10 years. We've heard a lot, you know, since 2006, really, when Mary Harney announced that it was a national emergency. We've heard a lot about, you know, ED crowding, but we are not seeing an impact of any of the efforts that have been made to mitigate it. And in fact, we are seeing it getting worse. And primarily, what we need to see happen is cranes arrive into our acute hospitals and build acute beds so that those patients that are stuck in our emergency cubicles and are impeding our ability to see the next patient and the next patient after that, that those patients have an appropriate inpatient bed to go to.
But before I go to our next guest, can I also ask Conor, I mean, if it would be possible that the problem is going to get worse because of a lack of GPs who could be treating lesser cases rather than people going to the emergency department because they can't get a GP to see them?
So general practitioners are describing being very overworked at the moment as well. In my area, there are GPs retiring and there aren't GPs to replace them. So, and their focus, they're being asked to focus a lot on chronic disease management. So it is difficult when people ring up looking for a GP appointment later that day to get a same day GP appointment. And we need to grasp that nettle and decide how we're going to deal with that. Are we going to build urgent care centres that deal with this problem? Or are we going to support there being more GPs available to see patients when they need to be seen on the same day? But certainly access to general practice is an issue that is arising, and it's causing patients to attend EDs for activity that could be dealt with in primary care if primary care was available.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Conor Deasy, President of the Irish Association of Emergency Medicine, for being with us. I want to bring in Labour Party Councillor Conor Sheehan from Limerick, because, Conor, I understand you've had a lot of experience of the hospital, both by having a sister working there as a nurse, but also having to bring your 87-year-old grandfather there, who spent 4 days on a trolley at one stage. Tell us about that, please, Conor.
Good evening, Matt, and good evening to your listeners. Look, what happened to my granddad in January of this year is not untypical or not particularly unusual for anybody here in the Midwest. My 87-year-old granddad was admitted with complications due to an ulcer on his leg, which then turned septic. And on the Thursday of when the initial four-day ordeal started, he was composed. He was referred by our GP to the surgical assessment unit, but the GP could not get an appointment in the surgical assessment unit. So she said to me, as next of kin, you have two choices. You can either bring him back to me tomorrow morning and we'll try for the surgical assessment unit again, although there is no guarantee that you'll get an appointment, or you can bring him to A&E. I took one look at my elderly granddad and said, right, I'm taking you to A&E because if I drop you home and God forbid anything happens. So lo and behold, we went to A&E and we were 4 days in A&E, both myself and my father and my other sister at another point, before my granddad was eventually shifted to Croom Hospital on the Monday, which is a Model 2 hospital, UHL being a Model 4, located 20 kilometres from Limerick. So, like, as you can imagine, like, being on a trolley for any length of time is an ordeal. You know, at a young enough age, never mind somebody at 87 years of age, and the statistics are there, the longer you're on a trolley, the worse the outcome it is. And my granddad was there basically with no sleep. He got increasingly confused, increasingly agitated, ripping the IV out of his hand, so much so that they eventually had to give him the antibiotic for the infection orally, because they couldn't find a vein in his arms, because he'd ripped the IV off in a state of delirium.
Connor, how is he now?
4 days. He's fairly okay now. Like, he's much better, thank God, since he went to Croom. He was treated there, and the level of care he received in Croom Hospital was excellent. But that 4 days in UHL A&E, like, I was genuinely concerned.
You see,
that
Connor,
another day,
the reason we asked you to tell this story is because Aoife Johnston died in 2020, late 2020, and we're now here in April 2024, and every day we're hearing reports of massive overcrowding in University Hospital Limerick. And I know that you can't immediately build new beds at that hospital in Limerick, but are there not ways of alleviating it, such as maybe even temporarily reopening facilities on a 24-hour basis at Ennis or whatever, just to alleviate the pressure on the hospital in Limerick, which doesn't seem to be big enough for the catchment area?
Well, the most basic crux of the problem, Matt, is that you've 2.5 million people, say, living in Dublin, and there's 8 emergency departments to serve them. In the Midwest, you have 500,000 people all channeled in through one emergency department since Fianna Fáil and the Green Party in 2009 brought in reconfiguration and downgraded the A&Es in St John's, Ennis and Nenagh. We're the only Model 4 hospital in a region that does not have a Model 3 hospital, which is, say, like a Tullamore or a Kilkenny, which is a hospital with an A&E, a medical assessment unit, and an ICU. I mean, we have a problem nationally with overcrowding, but it's twice as bad. Every single year, UHL breaks its own record. And people in the Midwest, they're literally terrified, elderly people in particular, of going to their local hospital. And this was identified, even the chief clinical director in 2019, Dr. Jerry Burke, with all the other clinical directors, wrote to all the TDs in the Midwest, highlighting the specific underfund that was there. And how Dr. Jerry Burke arrived at this was he looked at Beaumont, which has 630 beds, serves the same population as UHL, which has about 480 beds, and Beaumont has 31% more staff. And I mean, the first thing that the government could and should do, I mean, we have an eight billion surplus. They should lift the recruitment embargo immediately. There's 200 vacant staff posts in UHL. The panels are in place. Like, this is absolutely crazy.
Thank you very much, Conor Sheehan, Labour councillor in Limerick.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.